from Mark chapter 4. Our text is Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 25, but I'll be reading from verse 1, just to give us a bit more context. So Mark 4, beginning in verse 1. He, that is Jesus, began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it and yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." As soon as he was alone with the 12, began asking them about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise they might return and be forgiven." He said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower is the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now our text for this morning. And he was saying to them, "A lamp is not brought to be put under a basket, is it? Or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he was saying to them, "Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him." So far, the word of God for our hearts and lives. This morning, it'll help for you to keep your Bibles open to that passage as we consider it now. Well, dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, in Whanganui, we've been working our way through the Gospel of Mark. And here we are, we're up to Mark chapter 4, where Jesus tells us several parables. All of the parables that Mark tells are contained here in chapter 4. Now, boys and girls, what are parables? Well, parables are a made-up story about an everyday earthly situation that you might find yourself in, but it has hidden inside a spiritual truth, a heavenly truth is hidden in these very earthly stories. And now these parables that Jesus Christ is telling are like missiles being fired against the kingdom of darkness in men's hearts. These parables are being used by Jesus to destroy the self-confidence of men and women, to overcome all opposition in their hearts and lives, to bring them to conversion, to bring them to Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus' parables confront people with a decision that they need to make in relation to who Jesus Christ is, in a way that then changes the way that they live and also identifies them as being citizens of the kingdom of God. Now, prior to this parable, we just read it, Jesus told the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil. Now, this is Jesus' key parable. It's his blueprint parable, which demonstrates how all of Jesus' parables would work. The parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil shows us that not everyone who hears the gospel message, the word that's been sown, not everyone will believe it. Not everyone is saved. But to those who see Jesus Christ for who he truly is, to those who are committed to following Jesus and hearing his word, Jesus explains to them what his parables mean. So to those who are not close to Jesus, to those who do not see him for who he truly is, who do not hear his word by faith in him, or for them, the true meaning of who Jesus is and the true meaning of all of his preaching is hidden. So I want us to notice this morning that Jesus wants everyone to hear his message. Jesus doesn't want his identity to be kept a secret, and so Jesus tells us another parable to show us that truth. So the theme for this morning's sermon is, because Jesus reveals himself to us, we ought to hear his voice, and we ought to reveal him to the world. So we'll consider that theme under two headings. First of all, our first point will be see the light, and that's focused mostly on verses 21 to 23. And then our second point is soak up and shine the light, verses 24 to 25. So firstly, we need to see the light. I'm not sure what version Bible you're using. I'm using the NASB, and hopefully some of you are using that. Jesus says in verse 21, says there, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket or under a bed, is it? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? Basically, Jesus Christ is asking here, why do you take a lamp into a house? To hide its light? Well, boys and girls, if the power goes out in your house at night, well, do you turn on the torch just to hide its light? No, you turn on that torch so that you can see where you're going, so you can see what you're doing even though it's dark. Now, the lamps that were used in Jesus' day were these clay bowls, which would have had oil in them with a wick. And these lamps would give the best light when they're lifted up and they're placed somewhere in the open, shedding light everywhere in the room, to every corner. And so what Jesus is doing here is he's using this everyday sort of situation to paint this picture in people's minds, to get people to sit up and to think about what he's saying. Would have, for Jesus' Jewish audience, the picture of this lamp would have brought to mind the Old Testament that they would have known very well. In the Old Testament, we see that a lamp was used as a metaphor for God. 2 Samuel 22, verse 29 says, "For you are my lamp, Lord, and the Lord illuminates my darkness." In the Old Testament, a lamp was used to describe the Davidic Messiah as well. 2 Kings 8, verse 19 says there, however, the Lord did not want to destroy Judah for the sake of David, his servant, since he had promised to give him a lamp through his sons always. And then, of course, we have the most famous lamp passage in Psalm 119, verse 105. David says there, your word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so what do we see there? Well, the lamp imagery used in the Old Testament points to God, points to God's word, and points to the coming Messiah. Now, if you are using the NASB, this is why I asked the question. The NASB doesn't have the best translation in relation to us seeing in the English version the significance of the lamp. Verse 21 in the NASB says, a lamp. But the Greek uses the definite article, the word the, to emphasize to us the lamp. It's not just any lamp, it's the lamp. And so we need to notice the language of Scripture that alerts us then to the importance of this particular lamp that Jesus is talking about. You see there in verse 21, Jesus talking about this lamp being brought. And the Greek word that we have translated as brought is more literally translated as come. Literally, Jesus is saying there, the lamp does not come to be put under a basket, does it? It's unusual language, isn't it? Ordinarily, a lamp, your torch, kids, wouldn't come to you all by itself, would it? No, a lamp or a light is carried by someone. And so this coming is language that refers to the coming Messiah. This is no ordinary lamp. And so the imagery that Jesus is using in this parable points to himself as the lamp. The first chapter of John's Gospel, John chapter 1, it's a beautiful passage, reveals very clearly to us that Jesus is the light who has come to shine in the darkness. Later on in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, doesn't he, that I am the light of the world, and the one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The lamp coming, the lamp being lifted up onto this, placed on this lampstand, shedding light all around, points us very clearly then to the person and the work of Jesus Christ. This imagery sheds light for us on the person and work of Jesus Christ, who is the one who brings the kingdom of God into this world. The light that the Old Testament promised is seen in him. And he, that is Jesus, will be declared to all the nations. Jesus Christ, just in case I haven't been clear enough, is the light by which people are enabled to see their way into the kingdom of God. God's purpose in sending his son, Jesus Christ, is to enlighten, it's to reveal. Now, at this point in Jesus' earthly mission, however, the kingdom of God and Jesus' role within the kingdom of God is still somewhat hidden. Verse 22 says, therefore, nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret that it would come to light. Now, for some, they will not see, they will not understand the true meaning of Jesus Christ in his person and in his work. Remember what we just read in Mark chapter 4, verse 12. To those who are outside of Jesus Christ, those outside then the kingdom of God, while seeing, they may not see, not truly see, perceive. While hearing, they do not really hear, they don't truly understand. Otherwise, they would turn around, they would find forgiveness for their sins. So we see here there's this divine purpose that only those who are chosen by God would find the truth concerning Jesus Christ and his kingdom work. Yet even the concealment, that hiddenness of the present hour, contains the seeds of what will be revealed. If the beginnings of the kingdom of God entering into this world look unfavorable and not very promising, well, that then serves God's purpose. Jesus Christ is a very unique man. He's on a unique mission, but he doesn't look very unique. He doesn't look extraordinary. And so Jesus, through his parables, invites people to see who he is and to discover the kingdom of God, and yet they can only do this by being in true fellowship with him. Excuse me. Nothing is hidden to remain hidden forever. Jesus is hidden in order to be fully revealed at the appointed time. Well, brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God and Jesus' parables that bear witness to it are like a piece of embroidery. Not sure if you're into embroidery. I'm not really. But once when I was part of the cadets in the gyms, one of the other boys in my cadre chose that we would all do the embroidery badge. So we did some of that. So on one side of the embroidery, you have a mass of knots and tangled threads, don't you? It doesn't look very impressive. It's not a picture. And then, even though you have that, all the while on the other side of it, you have this beautiful pattern that's finished, maybe a boat on the water or something like that. Well, too, like this embroidery, this too is a picture of Jesus Christ. To those outside of Jesus, Jesus looks like this, the knots and the tangled thread on one side of the embroidery. He's this homespun rabbi, that is a teacher, without any credentials of a teaching school. He's a Galilean upstart who's not conforming to the religious order and the religious ideals and norms and expectations. He looks like a rebel. Well, brothers and sisters, the question then is, how can you and I detect in the very ordinary threads of such a life the beautiful emerging pattern of the kingdom of God? Well, verse 23 commands us to listen, commands us to hear Jesus' word because it's vitally important. Entry into the kingdom of God and the way that Jesus Christ comes to reign in your hearts and your lives. That's how we see the kingdom of God in this world right now. That's the reign of Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives. Only comes through hearing the word. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 1 verse 13, in Jesus, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of the promise, who is our first installment of our inheritance in regard to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. I hope you can see there too that hearing God's word preached is the primary means of grace that God has given to us. And that the Holy Spirit enables you to recognize Jesus Christ for who he is. If you read later on in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 28, we see there that Jesus gives his disciples the Great Commission. They are to continue to preach and to teach, to take the word of Jesus Christ out to all the nations. Well, brothers and sisters, that's true of Jesus' disciples today too. As Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, who is the light of God, we too are to be like Christ, shining the light of the gospel before all people. We're not to hide the word of God under a basket, but we are to let the light of Jesus Christ shine before all men so that those with ears hear might hear. So that brings us to our second and our final point this morning. Having seen and heard the light, soak up and shine the light. It's not enough to have just seen Jesus Christ and his word. As Jesus said, there are those who hear the word. There are those other three types of soil where the seed doesn't grow. Where even as they hear the word, they don't understand it. They don't believe it. And so Jesus says in verse 24, take care what you listen to. Now the Greek word for take care is from the root word for seeing. In other words, carefully see what you hear. Carefully consider what Jesus is saying to you. Pay attention to it. Now when my family and I were doing our pastoral internship up on the North Shore, we visited one of the beaches up there, and there was a guy on the beach who was wandering around with a metal detector. Not sure if you've seen or heard a metal detector being used before, but you can hear this weird humming sound as it passes over the ground. Now, if you want to find metal, you need to listen to the metal detector very closely to hear this change in sound as it passes over metal. You can hear the constant hum. It makes a slightly different noise as it goes over rough ground, and then when you hit metal, it starts pinging. So you can hear that metal detector, but in hearing it, still not truly hear it in order to find anything of real value. And so similarly, Jesus is saying you need to listen very carefully to what the Word of God is saying if you want to hear the truth, and in the hearing of it, truly understand it and believe it. This is important, brothers and sisters, because the amount of attention that you and I give to God's Word will be the measure of the profit that you and I receive from it. Jesus goes on to say in verse 24, by your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. Now, this is a very old Jewish proverb, and it occurs in a variety of forms. But one form of this proverb goes like this. In the pot in which you cook for others, you'll have your meal cooked. In other words, the idea of that saying is that if you take a pot of soup to your neighbor, they'll use that same pot of soup to make you a meal of the same size. There's this consistent measure to show that you're fairly and that you're equally loving and serving one another. But I want us to think about, okay, so that's a little bit strange, but then I want us to think about what that proverb might mean in relation to Mark. Because Mark's gospel is primarily concerned with whether or not you recognize Jesus Christ for who he is, right? How you see him in his person and in his work. And in these parables that Jesus is telling us, that Mark is relaying to us, he's concerned about whether or not we hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and then in recognizing who Jesus is in these parables, he's concerned with how you and I respond to him. And so we need to understand that proverb then in relation to what Mark is trying to show us about Jesus in relation to the measure that we use. Now the basket that's talked about in verse 21, so going back a little bit for a moment, is actually the Greek word for a measuring bowl. And so I hope you can see that the language that's being used here in verses 24 and 25 are related then to the language being used in 21 to 23. You're to see the light of Jesus Christ, you're not to hide it, you're not to conceal it when Jesus Christ has revealed his word of truth to you. And Jesus tells us, by your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you. This measure that Jesus is referring to is not a measure that you use to judge whether or not you and your neighbor are equally loving one another. No, this measure is used by you to determine whether or not you are in the kingdom of God. So Jesus is talking about you measuring yourself against God's word. That is, considering yourself and judging yourself according to it. After carefully hearing the word, seeing the light, Jesus calls you to carefully consider God's word, to bask in the light of God's word revealed in Jesus Christ, to soak it up as you consider it. Allow it to wash over you in order to cleanse you and to change you from the inside out. Because, brothers and sisters, it's as you do that, you cannot help but grow. And as you grow in your understanding of God's word, you will reflect the light of Jesus Christ to others around about you. The principle that Jesus is giving us here is of reaping what you sow. Getting a harvest equal to the work that you put into it. Because the effort that you put into studying God's word, you will reap an equal measure of the rewards of that. And not only that, but you see there, you'll get more than you deserve from God's word. In verse 25, Jesus adds this truth, "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him." We know already, don't we? There are only two possible outcomes to hearing God's word preached, right? When it comes to Jesus Christ, it's all or nothing. You either understand the mystery concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ, or you don't. If you don't recognize Jesus Christ for who he is, as being your Savior from your sins, as being Lord over your heart and over your life, even the word of God that you have heard will not benefit you. You will lose whatever benefit you could have gained from hearing it. But if you do recognize Jesus Christ for who he is, the word you have heard, the word you have carefully considered, well, even more will be added to you. As you hear and consider and understand Jesus' words, as you weigh them, you'll find that the demands of Jesus Christ over your heart and life are disproportionately in your favor. Now, brothers and sisters, I want us to think a little bit about this morning, that you and I don't fully understand all of the mysteries concerning Jesus Christ, do we? We don't understand everything in great detail about him. There are things we don't even fully understand about God's word in this life. Now, all our efforts at considering and understanding God's word are but a mere beginning, a mere scratching of the surface. And yet even this small beginning that we have in understanding and recognizing who Jesus Christ is and the truths contained in God's word means that we will receive far more than we could ever earn or ever deserve. That's the beauty of the gospel, isn't it? That's the beauty. We are forgiven more than we could ever pay. Far more. The verbs that are used here in this passage to describe for us, it'll be measured to you and it will be added to you, are in what's known as the passive voice. Theologians like to call them divine passives, meaning God is the one who's going to measure out to you. He's the one who's going to add to you. Brothers and sisters, as sinners deserving God's judgment, you and I could never earn our way to heaven by ourselves. We could never earn our way to heaven by seeing Jesus Christ for ourselves or by reading God's word enough, can we? No, if our salvation depended on us in any way, we would fall so far short of ever measuring up to God's holy standard. It is only by God's grace and hearing God's word and seeing Jesus Christ for who he is that you and I are given entrance into the kingdom of God. And so, brothers and sisters, thanks be to God that in Jesus Christ, his Son on the cross, at the fullness of time, when Jesus Christ was unveiled to the world as the Savior of mankind, He received the penalty that you and I could never pay for ourselves. God measured out, He poured out His wrath upon Jesus Christ so that your and my sins could be forgiven. That the blessing of eternal life in Jesus Christ could be poured out upon us due to God's marvelous grace alone. So when you view yourself against God's holy word in the light of Jesus Christ, each of us see that we have but a little faith. In the parable of the mustard seed, though, we see that even the small fledgling faith in Jesus Christ is enough to save us. Because by faith in Jesus Christ, God will give you all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Praise the Lord. And so this morning I have to ask you, brothers and sisters, do you see Jesus Christ for who He is? Do you see Him as the light of the world? As the King who rules over your heart and life? Or does He mean nothing to you? Key to recognizing Jesus Christ and to become a citizen of the kingdom of God is through diligent use of the means of grace. That is, are you reading? Are you meditating upon and hearing the preaching of God's word? And then are you seeking to live faithfully according to the light and the knowledge of God's word that you have been given? Well, brothers and sisters, it is my prayer that you would continue to grow in your knowledge of the grace of God and Jesus Christ, and that you would go on living life each day, relying on Him for His grace. Amen.